This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
I started doing this poetry thing when I was in 10th grade.
Oh, wow.
And I started doing this poetry thing for a couple of reasons, but one of the reasons why I started doing it was just to, distract me from school. I didn't really, I wasn't enjoying school. Just struggling in high school, just didn't perform very well. It was hard for me to study, focus, transition into college. Same type of thing. It was a bit difficult for me, right? But I always kept doing this poetry thing, right? With that, I have a fun little announcement.
Oh, wow.
Because, it's funny how the world works sometimes.
Wait, let me talk about how funny the world is. So,
go ahead.
I started this art thing back in high school as well. Kind of just like an escape.
Oh, okay.
And then, after years of not doing it because I wasn't really getting supported and finally starting again in college because, I was like, I'm South Asian. I have to show the world I'm South Asian, and I'm proud to be it, right?
Yeah, you are.
Little did I know that things would unfold in the ways that they have unfolded.
Wait, let me talk about how things are unfolding.
Oh, wow.
We recently had our New York showcase where, you showcased your artwork. I showcased my writing.
Right.
And you've had pop-ups in New York, and you've been invited to all these cool stuff. And I had my pop-up in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And it's funny how things unfold, and it's funny how the world works.
All right, get to it.
Because we are speaking on a panel at Boston University next week.
Boston
Round of
University,
applause, everybody.
Guys.
So we are speaking for Mother Language Day, Bangladeshi Mother Language Day, on February 22nd at Boston University. If we have anybody in Boston, if you don't live in Boston, if you live, listen, I don't care where you live.
I don't know if it's an open invite to everyone for this college.
Oh. Well, if we have any listeners at Boston University, please come see us.
Come through,
okay?
And support. It's a very monumental thing to have a panel where we speak together, and combine our passions and work together.
Isn't that crazy? Because she's going to be talking about how much she loves to be Bengali. I'm going to be talking about how much I love to be Bengali.
Give us your Boston rec so we have our full itinerary. All right, welcome back to our podcast, We're Difficult Dish, a podcast about different South Asian narratives. I am Muhua.
And I am Mashnoon.
So what are we talking about today, my beautiful co-host?
So, on this podcast today that you're listening to, first of all, you should follow.
Right.
Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Spotify. Follow us. Follow us.
In general.
Wherever we go. And leave us a rating, review, all that stuff. All that stuff we're telling you right now before we move on. Today, we are going to be talking about healthy habits to practice when we're in an unhealthy home/environment. That makes sense to you?
You speak on that a little bit. Speak
where
on
trying
that.
To go. So here's the thing. Unhealthy living. We could talk physical unhealthy living. We could talk, mental, emotional unhealthy living. We'll talk about both. We'll start off with, the emotional unhealthy living. A lot of us as South Asians, we grow up in homes where there's a clear divide. There's a clear divide in emotional intelligence. No, I wouldn't say emotional intelligence. Just the way that we versus our parents understand emotional intelligence. Mm. There's a big divide because we grow up in a brand new time that they're not accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, there are tendencies and there are things that go on throughout life, and these things, they look different for different families, and they look different when you enter different parts of your life, that can radically affect how you end up being and how much you're able to express yourself when you're in your own household, how much you're able to study, how much you're able to practice your writing or just do whatever it is. We all have roadblocks that, you know, everybody falls somewhere across the spectrum.
Right.
And we'll spend this episode just talking about some of the things that we grew up with, some of the things that we do to help ease maybe a little bit of the unhealthiness, you know?
Yeah. And when you are in a toxic environment like that, right, sometimes it feels kind of, you know, suffocating. Sometimes you get into such a low state where you don't have the energy to do work that you actually want to work on. You don't feel as much happiness as you do maybe when you're with your friends or when you're outside. And so here are some of our, you know, things that we implemented.
What do you think defines a household as toxic? What does toxic mean when it comes to a home?
I think when you think of toxicism, is that a word? Toxicness? Toxicness in your house.
Go ahead. We'll go with it.
I think it's when you and your parents or whoever you're living with don't see eye to eye and you just aren't agreeing on things, or maybe you can't communicate in a healthy way where it's kind of just like either yelling at each other constantly or just the silent treatment. You guys don't have a good relationship. A toxic home can also be, you know, abusive mentally or physically. It can be so many different things. And I think when you need to grow and when you need to do things that you want to do for yourself, it's really hard to do that when you're in that environment. And sometimes you need a break from it, even if it is in small forms or temporary forms. But really, it's so important to have your own safe space and have time away from those things so that you can better your mental health and also give to other people that are in that space. What's your idea of it?
I think it's pretty much just a place where you're not able to be yourself. Regardless of what's going on. Because all we want to do is practice being ourselves. And especially when you're in like developmental years of like early teen years to later teen years, like those are the years where you are molding yourself and you are coming into like the form of you.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that's a lot of the time when a lot of South Asian youth go through a lot of issues with their parents because they're growing up. You know, I feel like that age frame, a lot of parents don't know how to go about like parenting their kids because they know what they were parented as with their parents. And it's another world. Yeah, so going through like those developmental years when you're in a place where you're not able to develop yourself, where you're not where there are restrictions or roadblocks hindering you from what you feel like it is that you want to do or feel like you need to do in order to commit into learning yourself and understanding yourself, when you aren't able to practice that, I think that's when, you know, a household becomes toxic.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, you know, manifests into getting mad at your parents. That manifests into you sneaking out.
Mm-hmm.
That manifests into all these things that help, you know, fuel the flame of toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it all comes down to like, you know, if you're just not able to, you know, just practice being yourself.
Right. And obviously we can't help you cure your depression. We can't help you cure your toxic environment, but we want to give you like some of our tips on how to just make it a little bit better and make the situation a little bit better. And things that are a little bit easier, because I think when people say, especially like white therapists or people that don't really know your situation or, you know, whoever it is, if you ask them for advice, oh, like, how do I get out of this toxic situation? They're kind of like, oh, just move out. And you're like, hello, I'm 12.
Yeah.
You know,
hello? I can't.
You know,
yeah.
Like, we can't, like, some people don't have the ability to just leave and move out and have the funds to do that. You know, and then other advice that people give is like, oh, cut off your toxic family members. Hello, that's my mother. I can't.
Right.
Just do
that. Right. You know? I'm six.
I'm literally six. You know?
Right.
So it's like, you can't do those
things.
She
makes
things.
Me bath and
exactly.
No, I can't make food.
Exactly. So yeah. You can't just like listen to those people. But what you can do is take some of these practices and do some small things for yourself, right? So you want to get started? Favorite co-host?
Wow. Sure. I think, you know, we can talk about different things to do at different times in our life, but, you know, we'll focus on maybe older teen years, younger adult years, stuff that we've done. I think my biggest thing that I did growing up, and I still do, just go outside.
Big go outside. He does that every single day.
And, you know, I get that not everybody has the ability to go outside whenever they like, but I still think you should not take no for an answer when your parent tells you that you can't go outside, especially if it's like during the daytime, nighttime and you're young, whatever, that's another conversation. But when it's like during the day and your parents are like specifically telling you not to go outside because for no reason, they just like don't want you to go outside. Mm-hmm. Like there's no reason to their argument. There was a lot of that for me growing up and I still went outside.
I mean, you can also like push the boundaries, right? Like if they don't let you go outside to a party, obviously that's a bigger skill. You can start off small, like, oh, let me just go outside and walk around the block. And that helps a lot. But beyond that, you know, after a few months, after a few years, like you eventually push the limits a little bit and it gets a little bit better, hopefully. But you can always start off small like that.
I remember when I was like 16, I would tell my mom that, you know, I would take the bike and I would go up the neighborhood, and that's what I would do. And I would go to the park and I would go climb the trees at the park and sit in the grass and look at the lake and things like that. Mm-hmm. It would help me decompress, even though I'm not doing anything to, you know, aid the situation at home. I'm still helping myself decompress. I'm letting loose a lot of, you know, the internal negative feelings that I may have been feeling at my time home. And it's just like a restart, you know, it's like a little nap, right? But like an awake nap. It's like, you know, when you go to sleep, right? You go to sleep because you're sleeping.
I don't know if this is a good comparison.
And then when you wake up, energized, right? If you slept well. So same kind of metaphor, right? Like you need that break, right? You need to escape.
In order to
come back. And now it's like a refresh.
You know, right? I remember I got my license just so I can have that freedom to drive. I remember I also had a bike for that freedom. To just, you know, go to places nearby, even like the local library, you know?
Yeah, library is a big one.
No, I was going to ask you, what are some of your places that you go to now? Because you don't really go to the park anymore. Like, what's your adult form of these safe spaces?
Oh, now. I mean, you know them. You know them well. I'm a simple man, okay? I'm a big coffee shop guy. Because there's so much to do. There's so much to do at a coffee shop, right? One, you get a coffee, right? Caffeinated, you're energized, right? Two, now you take a seat, right? And you are in a place where you can get work done, right? Because sometimes it's hard to do work. We all know this. It could be really hard to get stuff done when you're in a toxic environment.
It's called body doubling, by the way.
Because body doubling
is where you feel more productive when there are other people around you doing work, so it makes you more motivated to also do that. It works a lot for like people with ADHD and ADD.
Yeah, big body doubler.
Yeah,
put that in my LinkedIn bio.
Oh, there it is.
Because I love working at coffee shops, and sometimes it gets really hard to get stuff done at home. Not even creatively. Like creative work is a whole other conversation. Talking about like actual work, like whether you're studying or whatever, it could be really hard when you're at home. It's because it's like I'm sure there's a word to it. Where like when you are physically in a place that brings you a lot of negative memories or just
This isn't just a game, it's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100 year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Negative feelings. It could have been something that happened 10 years ago. You know, that or like, and you're in a room where like something traumatic happened a long time ago, and you're just like, there's like an aura in the room that everybody feels. Mm-hmm. It's like in my home, my grandma used to live in my house for like 10 years. She lives back in Bangladesh now, but when she was here, she had her own room. Now it's like the guest room. And my grandma was, you know, super, super duper Muslim, like prayed all the time, read the Quran all the time. And whenever I go in that room, I just always like feel very, you know, good. Mm-hmm. Like I feel very holy. There's just like a very special aura that I feel.
I agree.
When I'm in that room, you know? So same kind of concept. And I know that a lot of people struggle with that.
Yeah.
So I always, always, always recommend coffee shops are a big one, especially if you live in like a city in a college town. There's a dozen coffee shops around. It's an amazing place to make friends, to see other people working. Whenever, that's why I love working in downtown, because like near like just buildings, because I'll just look at a building and I'll be like, man, there's probably like 3,000 people working in that building right there. I'll look at another building and be like, damn, there's probably like 6,400 people that are working in that building. And I'll just think, I was like, man, in like a quarter mile radius right now in my office building, there are probably like thousands of people working. And that just makes me feel so much more motivated. Where I'm here in my little like rinky-dinky home, my sister's room, looking at you.
Oh, wow. Just like,
everybody around me is probably just sleeping.
Hey.
Everybody around me is probably just laying in the grass playing with the dirt.
What do you know, think this is? No, but it's also because, yeah, like it's like a traumatic reaction. If you have trauma associated with certain rooms or places in your home, it's hard to like revert back to like a productive or like a happy mood when you already have like such, you know, different memories associated already.
And it's tough because like it lasts. Like, yeah. It doesn't really go away.
Even when you've healed, you know? It's like you go back to that place and it feels like you're a person going through that trauma again. You know, like when I go back home, I'm like not doing any work. I'm not productive because first, like I've moved out. So I have my own productive, like safe space here now. But when I go back, I just feel like I'm in high school again, you know?
Yeah. And it's like you could be in a whole nother phase in your life. You could be fully grown up and the polar opposite of what you were.
Yeah.
But it still kind of sticks.
Yeah.
You know, so coffee shops are a big tip of mine.
You're a big 10 p.m. coffee drinker, huh?
Listen, I'm a morning, I love my morning time coffee shops, right? But nighttime coffee shops are another conversation. Uh-oh. We could talk about
that's
that
a whole other episode.
I don't want to keep going, you know, a whole another. And afternoon, I'm not big on afternoon coffee
but
shops.
You still that's kind of
like
three,
like
four.
Between like no, like 1 to 5 o'clock, I'm not a big coffee shop guy. But like, you know, morning, like 9 to 12 a.m. and like 7 to 10 p.m. big coffee shop guy. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
I'll let you go. What's a tip that you have for a healthy habit?
Well, I wanted to add something else on top of what you said, where, you know, have a space outside of home. I think something else that's like not a productive space, but a good place for like mental health is like the gym. I used to always go to the gym when I was living at home because that was like a 2 hours away from the house. You know, I had a boost of energy and serotonin when I was working out, and it was just a nice, you know, like escape for a little bit. And it's you feel better when you come back home, hopefully, you know. So that was my safe space.
Not even better. I think like I really want to emphasize like the feeling that you get after the gym. Like, you do not feel the same that you felt before.
Yeah.
Like, you could have been having a terrible day. Something bad could have happened. You could be feeling lazy. You feel like you're doing nothing with your life. And if you go to the gym and have a good workout, 100% of the time, you will feel better. Like, that is guaranteed. Like, it's not like, oh, I feel like...
Yeah.
No, guaranteed, you will feel better about everything. Mm-hmm. And I think once I understood that, it's like it's not a chance thing. It's not like, oh, maybe, like you feel better, like you feel better, like actually. And so if you're someone who's like thinking about going to the gym, you don't go super often for whatever reason, please, if you go, you feel better, so why would you not go?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I think another tip that I have to, you know, get out of this toxic household, or not get out, but you know, make this better, is just having friends outside of your family that are also kind of like family. Because I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in this toxic household or within our own depression, we don't really talk to other people and we don't really confide in them. But I know in high school, when I was going through all these, you know, troubles that most high schoolers go through with their family, I really wanted, you know, like friendships. And I was, I'm really grateful that in high school I had friends to lean on. And when I was having a fight with my parents, for example, I could just go to someone's basement and just like vent it out. And I'm really appreciative of like the connections and friendships that I had back then in a time like that, even if we're not as close anymore. But I think it's so important to have friends that you can really just like trust, and they can give you a whole different perspective. And especially if you don't have like privacy in your home, or if you don't have like a safe environment at home, they're kind of like the people that you can confide in, you know? And I think it's really important to have that when you don't have a close bond with your family.
Yeah. And to add on to friends, if you're like struggling to make friends, even like sibling relationships, like I know we've had a whole, episodes on our sibling relationships. Like I have a sister, Mo has a brother, and what our, the journey of our relationships and what that's looked like. And, you know, both of us have had troubles with our siblings, and the communication hasn't always been there. But I think it's like, there's nothing as like trustworthy as a sibling relationship if you are able to build it to a certain place. And I know a lot of people when they're younger or like whatever, there's pride, there's ego, anything that's in between you and your sibling. I think there's something so beautiful and special, especially as South Asians, because, you know, we all know that like the life that we live, like it's hard for like an outsider to get it the same way that an insider does. And it's hard for me to fully understand your family situation, even though we come from similar family situations. Still, it's your own respective situation. The only person that's going to get it is like anybody else that's in the house. So, you know, close friend relationships, sibling relationships, building the communication and the relationships between those two is vital.
Yeah, just honestly having, like, obviously what we talked about, safe spaces like the gym, coffee shops where you can do work or just have a few hours of your own time is important, but also having safe spaces where you can have people that you trust, you know. Obviously it's important to have a space where you can do work and like get your energy out and your pent up anger out, but it's also important to have people to lean on. And I'm just very grateful that I had that, you know. I was really in my Shaitan, Satan era back then, because I had my, you know, safe spaces in my friends' basements. I was able to tell them everything. And then I used to have, you know, the clean mind, clean and heart, come back home and just go to bed.
Yeah.
What's your next tip?
I got one.
Yeah.
I think something that's helped me out a lot, someone who struggles with, you know, relaxing, struggles with always feeling like they're wasting their time when they're just laying down doing nothing.
You do have a habit of doing that.
I don't know if you relate to that. Something that I started doing is building sustainable hobbies.
Wow, that's crazy. I was just gonna say that.
What I mean by sustainable hobbies is hobbies / activities / things that bring you peace of mind, but you also feel like you're getting something out of it. Like, not just strictly for, you know, wasting time or entertainment or, you know, indulgement. Like, things where you are enjoying what you're doing, but you're also being fed, right? So my favorite one that I started doing, as you guys know, big chess guy.
No, we didn't know that.
Big chess guy. And call me a nerd. Call me a dork. Call me a Oompa Loompa. Whatever you want to do. Whatever you want, I'll accept it. All right. But the fact of the matter is that I feel so good when I play chess. You know why? Because I actually feel like I'm becoming smarter when I play the game. I can feel
your IQ level is just really
the tingles in my brain. Like, I feel my brain working. It's like it's like it's really working in there, you know. And it's just fun. Like, apart from like the brain working part, like the game is fun for me. And that combo of like feeling like you're actually getting smarter, plus you're having fun, is like an unstoppable duo. It's like me and you. It's like difficult-ish. Chess is like difficult-ish because we are an unstoppable duo. All
right, so I don't know if the word you were talking about is sustainable hobbies, because what the hell is a sustainable hobby? Did you mean stimulating hobby?
No, sustainable because it can, that feeling lasts. Like watching TV is not sustainable because after a while you feel like, damn, I'm doing nothing with my time. You know, that feeling like you're doing nothing with your time. That's what I mean by sustainable. Like it lasts. Like it, that, because when you're playing chess, for example, like you don't feel like you're wasting time. Mm. And you will, and you won't feel like you're ever wasting time. That's what I mean by sustainable. Okay. What do you mean by sustainable?
Well, I wasn't going to say sustainable. I was going to say stimulating.
All right. All right, sorry.
So there's that end of the stick where you can have like a hobby that you're also learning from. But it's also important when you are in a toxic environment to have a hobby that also brings you like peace and is kind of mindless, right? Sometimes we don't want to do all that thinking. We don't want to do a whole calculated chess game, you know?
That I'm not saying you can't watch TV. I'm just saying, like, try out the sustainable.
Yeah,
hobby. That's
no,
all
I agree.
I'm saying. All right,
I think it should be a balance with both. So I also love to have hobbies that, like, bring me peace. I especially think it's important when you don't have a safe space and you need some sort of, like, you know, pick me up to, like, make you turn off your brain for a little bit. I personally love, you know, drawing. I love reading. I love doing this and that, and I think it's really important to have that for a few minutes. I think if you implement a few minutes of your day to this, if you dedicate maybe like 15 minutes or 20 minutes to reading or drawing or journaling, I think those are great healthy habits that you can practice and really, you know, set into your routine. And I think just having time for yourself after a long day of, you know, being tired, after a long day of going through whatever bullshit you're going through at home, I think it's really important to have time for yourself and do whatever you can to have some peace. You know, sometimes we don't have that self-care.
I think going along with like journaling specifically, I think half of it is the activity of journaling, but I think the other half that, you know, we can't ignore is like the mental shifts that we have to take in order to feel better or like maneuver or just be at ease with what our environment is. So apart from like physical tips, I think one thing that I had to remember, especially when I turned like 18, I always thought that life was really short. And I always thought that where I am today is where I'm going to be forever. Like, I really thought that because, like, you know, when you're young, like when you're like in the mother's womb, all you know is like the mother's womb. Like, you don't know the outside world. When you're a kid, you don't know the outside world at all. Like, you have no idea what the world entails. So when you're a kid, when you're like 16, obviously you're going to think that you're going to be in that home for the rest of your life. If you don't have access to people who do bigger, better things. So I thought I was going to be in that home for the rest of my life. I thought my situation was going to be my situation for the rest of my life. But, and that's why it's so important to go outside. And, you know, not everybody could travel, but that's why it's so important to travel. That's why it's so important to make friends in different areas of your city, just different types of people to get a better understanding of what the world entails and what is out there. So when I got older, I really had to shift my thinking to, like, you know, life is so long. Like, we hear all this time, life is short. But, like, I really had to start thinking about how long life is and how much time I have instead of how much time I don't have and how I'm going to be complacent for the rest of my life. Like, I really had to understand the fact of how long life is and how much there is for me to possibly
do. I mean, I think I had the same type of realization that you had while you were just saying it now, where I always thought, yeah, when you're younger, you think that the situation is going to be the same forever. You think your parents are going to be angry and the same forever. You think that, you know, your relationship with them won't get any better, that you won't really go beyond your neighborhood and move out, things like that, right? I also thought that, but I think I came to a realization that first, your parents are also parents for the first time and they're learning with you in a whole new country, in a whole new generation. And I think that, like, brings some sort of empathy. And second, there's just so much more to life out there beyond what I knew back then, you know? So I think that brought some sort of hope. And, you know, it took years for myself to change and for my parents to change, but it, you know, finally ended up happening. And I think that, again, life is very unpredictable. And when you are looking for hope and change, it will come. All right. So as you guys know, we end off our episodes with the advice session. We wait for you guys to send in your responses on our Instagram. It's at Difficult Dish. So this week we asked you guys what some practices or some habits that you guys do when you are in a toxic environment. And we want to share with you. So, you know, maybe you can get some more tips and tricks from this segment. So we're going to go through a little, you know, lightning round. You ready for this?
No.
I am. So someone said, walk outside right when they're sad and watch children's cartoons.
Children's cartoons.
That's a good one.
That's a big one. I recently followed this Twitter page where, like, they just post full episodes of SpongeBob. Like, I don't remember what the name of I'll figure it out. If you're interested, just DM me. I'll send it to you. They just on Twitter, it's just full episodes of SpongeBob. They posted the full SpongeBob
the movie.
Like, it's a 3 hour, it's like a two and a half hour Twitter video.
This man, whenever he says that he's working, he's actually just watching SpongeBob. He's lying. Yeah, heal your inner child to actually, you know, be at your utmost peace. Someone said, taking my vitamins helped me regulate my sleep schedule.
You know, that's something that, you know, I just never got into. You know, the vitamin taking, the,
you know, so
the
crazy,
enhanced, the supplement taking.
Growing up, I used to always take vitamins before bed, before going to sleep, like the little gummy, you know, like the teddy bear ones. And then I just stopped. And I'm like, why did we stop?
You're a teddy bear.
You know, sometimes I need to get some good sleep and I don't have anything to take before.
You should get some.
I do drink some tea sometimes, though.
If y'all have any recommendations.
Yeah. They said, journaling and writing stories really has helped me express my emotions in healthy ways. Were you a story writer?
Of course.
Yeah? Like novel?
Big story, fiction? Big story guy. Oh, no. No, I used to write like little like 20 page stories.
Oh, wow. About what?
Like, I used to, like, on like the, on like loose leaf paper, I used to just like staple all the paper. Like,
oh, wow. Corner, like, what'd you write about?
The corner, yeah. Sometimes I would do, were you like a one staple on the corner?
Yeah.
Type of stapler, or like, you know, I was a little crazy in the head. I used to do the three staples, like,
no,
like,
three staples
like one
needed.
At the top, one in the middle, one at the bottom.
It was just wasteful.
Nah, I used to do that shit. You know who I hated though? I hated like the middle staplers.
Yeah, that was so,
they were freaking
that was
ugly.
So dumb for
freaking
nothing.
Ugly, and you had to like turn the page like over itself. Ugly. Yeah, what's so wrong ugly. With you?
Someone said, reserving the morning to feel grounded first before going straight to work, starting my morning with physical movement, journaling, meditation, eat breakfast, and water. That's important.
Mornings are very important.
Yeah, have some sacred time for you.
Very important. Yesterday, I had to go into my office early, so I woke up at like 7. And I usually wake up pretty early, but never like 7. I usually wake up like 8. But like, there's something just very nice about like 7 a.m. I think 7 a.m., you know, if you right now are like an 8:30, maybe even 9 a.m.er, try out 7. Like, just try it out. Like, have a morning planned out the day before. Be like, all right, I'm going to take a shower. I'm going to eat some granola and yogurt and cherries and blackberries.
Didn't you wake up at like 10 today? And
I'm not saying like every day. I'm just saying I enjoy. And you don't even got to do it every day. That's the thing. I think that's the part that's mistaken. I think every once in a while, a little 7 a.m.er could be really fun. And I was thinking about my morning yesterday. I was like, this is a really like good morning. I had I got to the office and I got my 16-ounce my 16-ounce cup of coffee. And I just felt so energized in the morning. I was suffering from like allergies and like a runny nose and, you know, congestion, but apart from that, I was like feeling if you are like a 7:30 8 a.m.er, try out 7. Just try it out. Try out 7 and thank me later.
All right, well, anyway, thank you for that. Someone said, taking a break from social media. Yeah, I think that for me, I had to definitely take breaks. And I think when I'm on social media for too long, my eyes start hurting, I get more drowsy, I feel more lethargic and tired. And I think now I'm in like a healthy phase where I have, you know, my work and my playtime on social media separate. And obviously there are days when like I'm just in bed and I'm kind of like, oh, let me just scroll. And, you know, those are fine. You know, those days happen too. But it's important to have a healthy balance with it. There are some people that like post everything constantly, always constantly on it in real time, posting and watching TikTok videos 30 hours a day.
Yeah, I freaking post everything. Yo, if y'all are like a 20 stories a day poster, okay, we don't gotta see your goddamn toes. We don't gotta see it. Relax. It's
all right. Not serious. Someone said, no matter what, prioritizing my sleep, it can get done tomorrow, but I'm asleep. Fact. You know those all-nighter things? I never got on that wave.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
What do you mean? You used to always pull all-nighters.
No, that's not true. That's not true. The only times I pulled all-nighters is when, like, I literally had to. But, like, if I didn't have to, I think all-nighters became, like, fantasized. Like, it almost became cool, like, especially in high school. Because I was
yeah,
in, like,
that was,
Ivy,
like, a bragging
where,
thing.
Where, like, all the smart kids. Everybody was like, yeah, pulling all-nighters.
Yeah,
like,
it could have been.
I went to sleep at 8 p.m.
It could have been, like, a one-paragraph, like, assignment. And they'd be like, yeah, I pulled an all-nighter. I was like, you didn't need to. Like, there was no need.
Yeah. Yeah, just, like, overall, just, you know, it's not about how much sleep you lose. It's about, like, how much you do while you're awake.
Yeah.
And, like, getting a normal amount of sleep.
Work smarter, not harder. Yeah, when I was studying in high school and college and grad school, if I didn't get something by, like, a certain time, like 11 p.m. or midnight, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to sleep. Like, I'm not trying to get this. Like, it's not that important. Anyway, we have last two. Someone said long walks.
Yeah, big walker.
Physical activity is really important.
You should do more walks.
I started doing, you know, my workout classes this year, and it has really helped me with my morning productivity and also just my healthiness with, you know, my life.
It's like we're talking about walks.
All right. Someone else said.
Yeah, my workout classes.
Someone else said baking.
Bacon?
Yeah. No, not bacon. Baking.
Stuck for a lot.
You know, I really need to get baker. On the... Yeah, we're not really big bakers, but I feel like we need to get on the wave.
I think you would like baking.
Yeah.
Why don't you bake? You should bake.
Yeah.
Make that, like, next couple of days. Do some bacon.
Yeah.
We'll find a recipe.
Let us know what I should bake for the first time as a novice.
I'll let you... I'm right here. I'll let you know.
You're going to bring give me the toughest thing to make.
No, I'm going to give you like some blueberry pie or something.
Blueberry pie. All right. Anyway, Do you have any 10-second advice to end off the episode?
I got one. Simple one. I probably said it before. Oh, well. Flowers. Get some flowers in your room. Get a nice little vase, a nice little like $3.99 vase from Amazon. Go to Trader Joe's. Specifically Trader Joe's, yep. get the $4.99 flowers. Flowers don't gotta be $1 billion.
Yeah.
Okay. Get a vase for $4 from Amazon. Get a bouquet of flowers from Trader Joe's for $6 and put it right by your desk or in your living room or in your bathroom sink. I don't care where it is, on your roof, anywhere.
That's
flowers are very nice. Flowers are nice. They don't have to be expensive. Get from your little neighborhood, whatever, where pick them yourself.
That's a good healthy habit.
Whatever. Flowers are very, very nice. I'm a big eucalyptus guy.
Mine is, my 10-second advice is, take some pictures of your family when they're doing mundane things. Those are good memories to have. Sometimes we, you know, we get so wrapped up in like the luxurious, like when we're dressed up pictures, and those are rare, so we barely have anything. You know, take some voice recordings and some pictures of family members when they're doing like everyday things and they're in their element.
It's
a good one, right?
Plus videos.
A nice little healthy habit, you know?
Yeah, and then they get, don't record me.
Yeah, and then you pretend like you're deleting it, but you're actually
still
not.
Still do it.
Yeah.
Good one.
All right. Well, anyway, thank you so much for listening to our episode on healthy habits in a toxic household. We hope this was helpful in some way. We hope that, you know, our personal experiences have helped you in some way and you've related in some way. But thank you so much for listening. You can follow us on Instagram. It's at Difficult Dish. And on TikTok, it's at Difficult Dish Podcast. Please follow us and support us. Follow Mashnoon. He's at Mashnoon Munir. And you can follow me as well if you'd like. I'm at Labyrinth Of. And we are Difficult Dish.
Difficult Dish.
Thank you so much for listening. We love you.
Never doing that again.
Allah Hafiz.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.